Welcome back, 12s. Brandon Schultz here with you. Adam Emmert. It's the Seahawkers podcast. And we have Tracy Williams on the line. We've talked about Tracy a few times. We've had Mike Flood on the show and Jenny Ghost. She did an article about Tracy, and we talked a little bit about that. And Tracy Williams, she's a master sergeant in the U.S. Army. She's been deployed 4 times to Iraq and Afghanistan. And she is president of the Military Seahawkers and board member for Operation Warp 57. Tracy was also the first female on a TOPS card, which I actually had to buy on eBay because she kept ignoring my requests to give me one. So welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's just a testament to my memory. I have none, so I kept forgetting your card. I'm sorry.
Well, Tracy, did he offer you anything in a trade for your TOPS card? I mean, or did he just expect you to give it to him, you know, without anything?
I thought about trading like a Barry Bonds rookie card or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It was always, I run your website. Give me a card. Okay. All right.
See, that works.
That's a fair trade.
Well, let's get a little bit into the Seahawks games these last couple weeks. How great was it to watch the Seahawks against Atlanta this last week? I know you didn't go to the game. You were actually at the Atlanta game last year in the playoffs, but you know, how did this compare? What did you see from the team this time?
Oh, my goodness. What I saw was a team that really worked together. Everything was working. The offense, the defense, special teams, you name it. It was so fun to watch because that is the Seahawks team that I was so prepared to watch all year. Because the talent that they have, I knew that they had it in them. I knew that they could play like this, and to actually see it happen, I could say I told you so to every naysayer that there is out there, you know, Oakland Raider fans, San Francisco fans, all these other fans that said, oh, you guys aren't as good as everybody says you are. I knew we were, so I was very excited to see that game. That was awesome.
Speaking of San Francisco fans, you know, we can have a little bit for them who, you know, I think they took Carolina a little bit for granted. And, you know, they saw, people probably gave the Seahawks a hard time for only winning, 12-7 mm-hmm. back in week one, but they saw that Carolina's for real.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're licking their wounds down in San Francisco wondering how in the world they lost that game. But, that was another defensive game that, but tell you the truth, I thought that San Francisco was going to hold them. I really did. It was such a defensive battle. But, oh, thank goodness that they heard me yelling and they decided to score and win. So,
I want to ask you, because you do travel to quite a few road games, and I know you were, I think you were down in Arizona and then in St. Louis, and can you talk about how, have you seen any changes over the years? Has this year been different? Because, I mean, even in the Atlanta game, you could hear the Seahawks chants through the TV.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. And so are you feeling that more at the stadium when you go to these games, or is it really not that new?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think it started with the Washington game last year. A group of people decided that we really needed to get all the Seahawks fans together, and the power of 12 needed to be shown at that Washington game. So Tanzi Allen and a bunch of Hawk fans that live out of the area decided to get this road, I think they call themselves
Seahawks Road Crew.
12th Man Road Crew, yeah, 12th Man Road Crew. And so that kind of started in Washington, where just using the social media got us all in the same spot for the night before. We all got together. I mean, we filled that bar, 2 levels of that bar, and had a fantastic time the night before. And just kind of put a game plan together to meet in a parking lot had a fantastic tailgate that day, and then all together marched up to the stadium. And that really is where I saw everybody come together and then be one voice. And it went to Atlanta. We did the same thing in Atlanta as, you know, during the playoff game. And it's just really carried over. When we were in Arizona, again, you know, everything was put together of where to meet and the night before and during the game, it almost seemed like a home game. Obviously, nothing can compare to CenturyLink, but the amount of fans and the noise in that stadium was purely the 12th man and just the togetherness that we had. Same with St. Louis. When I went to St. Louis, thank goodness there was a World Series. They were trying to give away tickets for $7 a piece. Nobody showed up still. And we almost outnumbered the Rams fans. There must have been, you know, at least 40% Seahawks fans. And again, we were loud and proud and representing the 12th man. So I think that's the biggest difference is the fact that we all get together as one. And that's what makes it. That's the biggest change that I have seen is the fan base getting together. Social media has really helped out with that.
So the Seahawks are coming back home this week and taking on the Vikings. And is there anything that is at all concerning about this matchup against the Vikings to you?
Oh, concerning. Well, you know, complacency always concerns me. When you get to a team that is, you know, really has nothing to fight for. I mean, they're what, 2-7? And when you're 2-7 and you really don't have any dog in the fight, so to speak, you have nothing to lose when you're out there. So they're going to be out there just fighting the fight, you know, prove a point. Hey, we could beat the Seahawks. They beat the Steelers. I mean, they beat the Redskins with 34 points. That team really has been putting up a lot of points but losing. So I think that complacency, like in the military, what we say, complacency kills. And we in the military know what that means, and I hope that the team knows what that means, because they got to come out with the intensity that they had last week and just really bring it home. I don't want to see them having to come from 21 behind again. I don't want any of those records broke again. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm concerned about is complacency and playing a team that has nothing to lose.
121-point comeback victory is enough for one season, I think. And
you're absolutely right, and I don't think my heart can take it anymore.
So this weekend is the Military Appreciation Day game, and we've seen a couple of these, but some folks may have never gone to a Military Appreciation Day game or even people that are outside of the area. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what these games are like and what the Seahawks do to show appreciation to the military?
Well, there's been a lot of things that the Hawks have done in the past. One of the things that I thought was one of the best military appreciation games was they brought anybody that had served in the military, anybody, allowed them to muster up, and then we did a lap around the field during halftime. Everyone in the stands cheered. And there was Vietnam vets, there was Korean War vets, there was people who've never deployed but have been in the military and have never been thanked before. I mean, those guys are like the forgotten group that, you know, maybe you haven't been able to deploy. You're an integral part of the military and should be thanked for everything you do for we as Americans. And I'll tell you what, I've had people comment still about that military appreciation game and being able to do a lap around the field and get thanked. The Seahawks almost got fined for having us on the field too long. But we thank goodness got everybody off. It would have been worth it. And this year, I've just been given permission to let everybody know that we've got Medal of Honor recipient raise a 12-man flag who's from Olympia, Washington, born in Olympia. He's going to raise a 12-man flag. And he was a pilot. The movie We Were Soldiers was based on him. And Medal of Honor recipient Petre is going to be running the team out. Leroy is just a phenomenal Ranger that still is in. And Medal of Honor recipient that was in Afghanistan. He gets to run the team out of the tunnel. We're going to have a whole bunch of stuff going on halftime that is going to be, you know, all of the pomp and circumstance of all the components, music, and it's just going to be a great day that's going to really bring out all the heroes of America and hopefully a lot of tears of pride.
And we've talked a little bit on this show before about how the Military Seahawkers group got started, but you were the one who really helped get all that together along with Mike Flood. Tell us a little bit about how the Military Seahawkers organization got started.
Well, I was a regular Seahawker, you know, a nice paying member. In fact, I was the Central Council membership chairman. No, I'm not going to take that back, Brandon. You have that. And I can't remember how long I was a Seahawker, but I was a member of South Sound Chapter or South Chapter, and I got deployed. And while I was deployed, I got to hear absolutely nothing about the Seahawks. And I was so disappointed because I deployed right after 9/11, and I was wanting Seahawk stuff, you know, information just as a way of getting away from the realities of what we were doing. And there wasn't any. And so when I got back, I talked to Mike Flood about the possibility of starting a chapter just for military. And he thought it was a fantastic idea. So I wrote up, everything necessary to become a chapter. I talked 15 military at the time. You had to be still in. And so I talked 15 military into being members, and Mike Flood got to be a member also. We waived the you had to still be in clause, or you had to do 20 years. You had to be retired. Okay. You had to have a card, yep. A military card. That was it. And he had his retirement card. So he's a founding member also. And that's how we started. And it just has blown up ever since. It started with me just doing emails to these 15 people. I would do my very biased synopsis of the games that I watched. And even if we lost by a lot, I would make sure that the biased twist was the game was stolen from us, or, you know, the... some good twist that if you were downrange reading it, you would feel good about the Hawks. And that's how it started.
Yeah, well, and we still try and throw those biased twists in there, too. There's no being impartial when it comes to our Seahawks team.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, while I was downrange these last few times and reading, you know, your synopsis that I so... lovingly handed off to you to do, and you do such a great job. Just reading those, you know, takes you away from what we do out there and, you know, everything when you're at downrange is negative. And to be able to open your email and see a nice synopsis of the game and take 5 minutes out of your day to read something and put a smile on your face is exactly why our Military Seahawkers is there, is to give you 5 minutes of home. And I think that we're accomplishing that.
So one last thing before you go. Well, you know what? I want to ask you about Leon Washington. I want you to tell your Leon Washington story, because even though Leon's not with the team anymore, you used to get hugs from Leon on the sidelines before every game. And I think it's a neat story, even though he's not with the team. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started?
Oh, I so miss Leon Washington. And he knows that on Twitter, I always let him know that how much I miss his hugs, and he has gotten to the habit now of tweeting me back saying how much he misses my hugs. The first time this happened, I make sure all the reenlistments and stuff happen on the South End Zone. And I was in the South End Zone, and Leon saw me. I used to wear my uniform every game. And he saw me and came over and gave me a hug. And I told him, hey, run one back for me. And he said, I'm going to try, you know. And that game was against San Diego. He ran two back and almost a third, and he said he'll never do this again. He's showboating a little bit and actually got caught on the 2-yard line. So it was almost 3 touchdowns. Ever since that game, every time he saw me, he would come to the South End Zone and give me a hug, and I'd tell him, run one back for me. During away games, he'd see me up in the stands, and he would do an air hug, and I would air hug him back. And it just became his thing that he did every single game. And it was something for him to come down to the end zone. And all the military, all the families that would be down there would be like, wow, Leon Washington came down here to the end zone, you know, just all happy to be able to see a player come down and say hi to them. And boy, I sure do miss that.
I think we need to get Jermaine Kearse introduced to you because he hasn't, yeah. You know, apart from the preseason game, we haven't seen him run one back. So we need to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'm the lucky run back hugger.
I think so.
Let's send him a text and tell him he needs to come and hug me.
Yeah, we need to work that out for sure. So the one last
that
thing I wanted to mention, Operation Ward 57, and yeah. You're on the board for that. Can you tell us a little bit about what that organization does?
Sure. That's the probably the most serious side of me that you'll get. Operation Ward 57 is a nonprofit organization that deals with helping amputees get back into society and deal with life without one or two or even 3 limbs. And we not only support them, we facilitate any problems that they may have. We're their advocates. We not only help them, we help their families. And transitioning back into civilian life out of the military, not being the whole person that you were when you went downrange is really tough. And we try to make that transition a little easier and support them. They may not be the same person on the outside, but they're the same inside. And we help them actually find them as a person again and let them know how great life really is, regardless of not having, you know, a limb. So it's something that we take pride in. We help the even the staff members there. It's not called Ward 57 anymore, which is the amputee ward. We're still called Operation Ward 57, but Walter Reed got a big facelift, and they changed the amputee ward. But we still are under the same name and the same mission, and hope that if anybody wants to get involved, go onto our website and do that. We would love it.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, Tracy. Thanks for all your leadership through the Military Seahawkers organization. Thanks for what you do with Operation Ward 57. And we will see you at the game on Sunday.
All right. Go Hawks.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.